Hey everyone, today we are critiquing art by Hunter Schafer, who is an actress, fashion model, activist, et cetera, et cetera. If you are looking to strengthen and flex your art muscle, Art Prof is the community for you. We have tutorials, critiques, and more, and it's all for free. Claire, would you like to get us started?
Yeah, this is a series of videos that we have where we critique artwork by celebrities. And it's been so much fun to see the range. And I have to say, Deep Dee, this is some of my favorite work that I've ever seen by celebrity in one of our critiques. So I'm really excited to talk about Hunter Schafer's work. It's incredibly diverse, very experimental. But before we get into the work, can you just tell people a little bit more about Hunter Schafer for those of you who have not heard of her before?
Yeah, so I was introduced to her through watching the show Euphoria on HBO, where she plays this character, Jules. But before that, she was a pretty successful fashion model and also is like very outspoken as like an LGBTQ activist and trans rights activist, which I think started in high school for her. So that's kind of how I know her. And then throughout the pandemic, it's like her Instagram page has had a lot of use showing off her visual arts and stuff, which is cool. So I think more and more people have realized that she's a visual artist. And I think she actually in high school got into Central Saint Martins and then deferred and started modeling. And then her career kind of took off. But yeah, she's just kind of this really awesome, multifaceted artist that I think is so cool. And I'm like obsessed with her.
Tell us in the chat, who here has heard of Hunter Schafer, and who here has watched all of Euphoria or part of it? Because you know what, Deep Dee, after the first episode, I was like, oh, it's another HBO, has to be all about sex and drugs. And I was really turned off. But then I watched a few more episodes, and I have to admit, I like Hunter Schafer's character way more than Zendaya's character. I don't know. What about you? You watched part of it, right?
I watched almost all of it, and then I got logged out of my HBO Max that I was borrowing from someone. But what I love about her is that, like, this was her first acting gig, I think, like, ever. And she's so good at playing Jules, partially because I think there's some parallels in her personal life and Jules's, you know, the story of Jules. But, like, just as an actor, I think she's really, really natural and is so... it's just beautiful to watch her. She does such a good job on that show that it's kind of hard for her not to be like the star. I think it's so hard not to like fall in love with her character. And then likewise, just fall in love with like her as a person.
Aditi says, I have watched Euphoria. I love her. Everything about her was iconic. I sort of have a crush on her. I don't know. She's so like ethereal. And so thin and elongated, almost to the point of caricature, but it's, I don't know, she's like a real life elf from Lord of the Rings. I don't know. Her whole atmosphere and presence is just like mesmerizing. And you're right, she's a really good actress. There was a bonus episode that focused only on Jules, and it was really, really good. I mean, you wouldn't know that she didn't train as an actress and was a model previously. So Deep Dee, how about this? Can you tell us about this image, which is a mask that she posted on Instagram?
Yeah, it's a mask that she posted, I think, right at the beginning of like when coronavirus was happening in the States and we were all going into the pandemic. And I mean, the reason I like this is because it kind of shows who she is as a visual artist. Like she's really someone who it seems like visual arts is just part of her day to day. Like the act of drawing all over your mask that you're wearing is something that like, you know, that someone who just has it in them just does. And I think that speaks, you know, we'll look at her work throughout this stream. And I think it speaks to how she is as an artist, which is again, like I feel so drawn to her as a person because it really feels like she does whatever she wants. And whatever she wants feels so truthful and specific to her that you can't help but like love it as much as she loves it. I love the act of just drawing on a mask and taking a photo of that and being like not really caring about what other people think about your work with, which a lot of her work feels like, you know, it's very specific and personal to her, which I applaud and I think is really cool.
And I think a lot of people do think, well, to call myself an artist, I have to make big projects and major paintings and works that can go into a gallery. And I like that a lot of her work does feel like these random scribbles, but she seems to own it in a way that I think is sometimes hard for people to do on Instagram, where there is this very high expectation for things to look amazing. And so what I like about her work is that it's super diverse. We're going to see wearable artwork. We're going to see sketchbook pieces. She's done some pieces that I wouldn't say that they're comics, but sequential in terms of telling a story. And I love stuff like this. Like, this is one of my favorite slides in the whole show. What's your take?
I love it too. I mean, I like the fact that, I mean, I think it's her hand, but it's, you know, I think it speaks to how involved she is in her art making process, where like, it's like literally herself a part of the piece. And it makes me curious of like what it would be like if she studied or didn't study, if she produced photography too, and like use, because like, you know, she's a model, so she's used to being in front of the camera. And as a model, you also like wear art and she's making art. I was like, it makes me think of like, oh, there's so many avenues that she can explore. Why do you like this image? Like, what about it speaks to you?
There's just so many pieces. There's the topography, there's the hand, the artwork on the nail, and then there's also the line work that's on the paper, but none of it's an accident. I mean, I can see how the pen lines are an extension of those hands, and I just like seeing all those different types of media put together with a pretty low budget thing. Like, this is not something that is difficult to put together from a media point of view. But I think sometimes when you have more humble supplies, you're more likely to try something out there.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a challenge to think outside of the box, but then it also forces you to try things you probably would have never tried before, and then hopefully will unlock a new way of thinking and give you access to trying things in different ways, which she's clearly doing here.
Lisa says, it's hard to separate your love of someone from their art. Yes. I mean, Deep D and I are clearly Hunter Schafer fans, and it is hard to look at this and not think about her other careers as a trans activist and actor and model. But I have to say that I have an easier time with her work, because sometimes when the work is a little mediocre, it's like their personality takes over. I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also kind of like intent. We were talking about this a little bit earlier of like, I don't feel like she's putting these sketchbook pages in like a white, on a white stool and putting it in a gallery and charging people an entry fee to look at it. You know, it's like, it feels really intimate. It's like almost like we're being invited into her sketchbook. It almost feels like a friend that you're looking, like your friend's work that you're looking at. It doesn't feel like she's putting herself on a pedestal. And we've seen that in some of the previous celebrity critiques that we've done, where it's like, it's about like intent. And I think that changes like my perception of the work. And like, I think this is so cool because it really just feels like someone opening up their sketchbook to us, which already feels like a privilege, and showing stuff that's like really personal. Like, you know, like this work that we're seeing feels really, really personal, at least to me. I don't know about you, Clara, but it feels that way to me.
Well, C. Cantrell says, the fish trap, I can agree with Prof. Lou on the media idea, but the content, meh. And Lisa says, letters on fingers seems like teenager angst. I mean, Hunter Schafer's not that old. I mean, she's only a few years away from being a teenager. And I can see that. I mean, there are definitely some images in here where you say, okay, I've seen that before. But I think what really changed my mind about that, Deep D, is that she has this wonderful sequence of illustrations that were actually published in Rookie Magazine. And we have the link in the video description below if you guys want to take a look at this. And I think if I only saw the fingernail and the writhing, if I only saw that, I think I'd be more likely to say, oh, okay, that's very stereotypical, but I really like the sequence. So let's take a look at this. These illustrations represent my emotions in situations like school dances, where the gender binary was expected to be followed long to escape to express what I felt inside me, not what was expected of me. So there are six illustrations, and she goes through and talks about going to school dances and getting dressed up, the part of me that craved femininity. What's your take on this, Deep Dee?
I think this is beautiful. And I think she was in high school when she made this work. And again, I've said this so many times, but her work is so personal and specific to her journey and her life growing up and her life experiences. And I think it feels like a privilege, and, you know, to look at her work, and it feels like you're understanding something about this artist and just their life. And I really love, I mean, I think the character, this character, I guess it's like a self-portrait in some ways, is really funny and lovable and kind of quirky. It's like a silly character design, but I mean, there is a lot in here that's, you know, speaking to her emotional state. Like, it's not only like technically interesting with the use of mixed media and, you know, textures and color and character design, but it's really, really conceptually beautiful. And, you know, it's so personal to her. I can't stop saying like how personal her work feels. And, you know, that's why, like, maybe looking at this, I'd have some like critique on like, oh, like try this with the medium, or maybe mix your colors in a different way. But all of that kind of feels irrelevant because the content is so interesting and the writing accompanied with it is so interesting. And I get swallowed into the story that she's telling, that it makes sense. And it kind of, like, you know, it's something about growing up in your childhood. So the imagery actually works with that for me. Like, it feels like appropriate for that kind of story.
I also think that you see a lot of artists out there who are activists and have a certain purpose or cause that they want to put out there. And I think it's very hard to do it from your own personal perspective, especially, I think, trans issues have only started coming to the mainstream. I mean, when I was in high school, we didn't have the word transgender. Nobody talked about that. It's a very, very recent thing. And putting yourself out there like that as part of the message, that's hard. That's not an easy thing to put out there. Aditi says, it must take a lot of courage to post such intimate artwork while having 3.2 million followers. I would be so scared. Well, I can't speak to that experience, but I can't imagine, if you're a trans teen, putting out narratives like this, anything about that is easy because of the world we live in.
Yeah, definitely. I also like this comment from HX saying, this is my first time hearing about Hunter Schafer. I really like her artwork. Nice bit of humor with a dash of social commentary. I think there's a ton of social commentary, not just a dash, but definitely. I mean, I think there's a level of humor, and I love these character drawings. This is probably my favorite of her work, which is no surprise to you probably, Clara, but I mean, she's super skilled at character design. Like, this is, you know, this shows a lot of skill here to create these like funny caricatures in these, you know, profile 3/4 angles that have so much personality to them and are really, you know, like exaggerated. And a lot of people like talk about style, and looking at this, like, she really has a developed style and like voice as an artist too, which I love. She's playing with texture, line weight. I love these.
I mean, I would say if I look at all of her work, it's a little scatterbrained. It's all over the place. One thing here, one thing there. But you know what? I really think that younger artists need to do more of that. I mean, Deep Dee, I have kids in high school who are 15, and they're so worried about having their own artistic style. And I'm like, you're 15. Like, you have your whole life to explore and try different things. And I just feel that wasn't so much the case before social media. Like, now there's so much pressure on people to like define themselves early on. And I just think if you're in high school, if you're in college, you should be messing around like this. You should be putting pieces of masking tape on your drawing and seeing what happens.
Yeah, exactly. She's not taking herself like super seriously, or like asking people to pay, like I said, like, you know, $15,000 to buy one of, like, at least I don't think so. I've never read that she's doing that. It really just seems like she's experimenting and having fun and finding avenues to express herself and express her identity and her thoughts and who she is. So why not try everything and just have an explosion as an artist. It's, you know, she seems to have so much creativity inside of her and so much to say, and she's really allowing that to explode. I mean, the mask drawings is like a perfect example of that. Like, you see a blank white mask, you have to draw on it. Like, I love that impulse and not caring so much. I think that's wonderful.
Ewan says, yes, I got deep into my own, quote, style between 2013 and 2016, and it completely stunted my artistic process. Tell us in the chat, how many of you here have at one point worried about whether or not you have an art style? What was your experience with that? Because when I was in art school, DT, we just did whatever. Like, we did not worry about style, but we didn't have Instagram back then to put that pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you went to school with that?
I don't think I went to school with the pressure of having a style, but then it kind of grew when you start noticing, like, you're in art school, at least I was, and I started noticing other people that kept producing work where I was like, oh, I can tell that that's X person's work. And do I, like, you know, it's always a pressure because it's so cool to see someone accomplish, you know, so many different things, but it all fits under the umbrella of their style. You know, it's so hard, but I think that what you'll find your own style by just continuing to experiment and develop, and soon your style will come out. And even if it doesn't to you, I think to other people, they can recognize your style and they'll start seeing threads. So I would say just lift that pressure off and just create work that makes you happy.
Yeah, like Soyton Lee says here, cool thing about being an amateur is you don't have to have a style. You can change every week. And Maria says she's an artist that apparently works on visual arts, acting, and more. So how could we not see her work as scattered? She widens her focus. Oh, yeah. I mean, she's jetting around doing all these fashion runway shows. I mean, how could you expect anybody to be doing that? But like, Deep D, I love this piece. I love that she has this piece that is somewhat wearable, but also feels like an installation. I mean, this is one of the pieces I got, because you don't see celebrities doing stuff like this most of the time.
No, I want to know the backstory of this so badly, but I think it's so cool that she's playing with her body, like wearable art again. It's like, it feels like a fashion photograph that she's taking, and that's like a wearable art, but then it also like exists on its own as a sculpture, and like really plays with negative space in an interesting way, and like color in a really interesting way. And I think it's such a cool avenue for her to continue to explore, because I think it is so special that she is a model, an actress, an activist. Like, she's comfortable in front of the camera. It'd be so cool to see her behind the camera too. Maybe she's done that, I don't know. But like, with fashion, like, wearing things is such an important part of it. I mean, we've seen images here where she's wearing really cool outfits. So I was like, when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, yes. Like, I want to see her make more sculpture, and I want to see her play with her like actual body more, or just the body. But like, I think that could be so cool for her.
I mean, I will say a lot of her work from a technical standpoint, it is a little rough around the edges. Like, if I look at this piece and I were to critique it in a classroom, I probably would talk about the transitions from the sculpture into, say, the surface that she's sitting on top of, maybe think a little bit more about the negative space. But I appreciate that she's putting herself out there, because the other thing I noticed too, Deep Dee, some of the artists that we've done celebrity critiques for, I think Anthony Hopkins and Miley Cyrus, think David Bowie, and also Marilyn Manson, they've all had bona fide white cube gallery shows. I mean, Miley Cyrus had her work up on pedestals, and I mean, she had even less work than Hunter Schafer has. And so in some ways, I appreciate this work more, because I know it's being made not for the right reasons, but not because she's trying to get attention or to show off. It seems like it really is part of her identity.
Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting part of Instagram, because Instagram can feel very like show-offy, but in a way it's also so accessible to so many people that like you know, I can draw something in my bed at 2 a.m. and post it on Instagram for my, like, I don't have 3.2 million followers, but for my followers to see. And she's kind of doing the same thing. You know, it doesn't seem like she's prepping for a gallery show or something. It's just like, she truly is just making work. It is what it reads as. She's just making work for herself and then sharing it with other people.
So Dee Dee, if Hunter was in the chat, what recommendations would you make as far as continuing to develop? I'm not talking about, oh, how do you get the gallery show? I'm just talking about pushing that experimentation further so that it can get even more diverse, because I see a lot of pen drawings, and while I love the accessibility of pen, it does get a little repetitive in some of her work. And the pieces that I'm the most excited about are the wearable pieces where she gets more inventive with supplies.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would love to see her explore wearable art and sculpture a little bit more and be almost like, one thing I like about her pen work is that she's very energetic and not afraid to kind of get messy with the pen work. But I think it's like asking to just jump out of the page. And I want to see her just create something like very 3D and very physical and even involve her own self into that. Like, there's so much energy in her pieces. But I also think it would be really interesting to see her, you know, nail down like really conceptually what she's trying to say in some of her pieces. Because like I said, I it doesn't really bother me in some ways, but there are sometimes like a few cliches that I see in her work, or like imagery, you know, that's a little bit cliche. And truly it doesn't bother me so much, because I think the message and the narrative and the personal aspect really speaks louder than those things. But how to make things even more specific and more interesting to your personal narrative could be really cool. So even playing around with just brainstorming, I think could be really exciting to see all that you pull out of there and put onto a page. What would you recommend, Clara?
Being the printmaking nerd that I am, I just want to see the pen drawings translated into etchings, because etchings are such beautiful lines. And I've seen a lot of people who do pen and ink do etching and dry point. And I just think that that would give the line a different depth that is not achievable with pen.
We have some comments. Maria is saying her line work in animation would be so cool. I think that would be really awesome. And also Katrina is saying, I would love to see her work with oil. I think the layering would be stunning with her line work. I agree. I think oil could be really great. And the fact that oil, you can like keep reworking it, could be something really fun to explore.
What I really like about this piece, Deep D, is the black shapes. They're really well done. I mean, so often when I'm critiquing sequential, I don't know if this is necessarily comic, but it has panels and stuff like that. Most of the time people get so stuck on the line work that they forget about shape and how important those black shapes can be in terms of making the piece really have a weight to it. So oftentimes you'll have a piece that has like all these lines and there's like two little black shapes and then the image doesn't really pop. And I think this is really well designed. A lot of people don't do that in their panel work.
Definitely. I mean, she's definitely thinking a lot about positive and negative space and like that relationship. And yeah, I agree. I'm not sure if it's a comic, but definitely each page is addressed well too. It's not like each panel is thought of on its own. I feel like there is some thought about like how the panels on a single page work together, which I think is really special.
Tell us in the chat, in addition to animation and oil and printmaking, what new media would you like to see Hunter Schafer work with? Because my feeling is that she can do whatever she wants. She doesn't seem to have any fear about trying something different. Because as I said, there are a lot of people, I need to define myself as a 3D artist first. And she's like, 3D one day, nails, sketchbook. You know, it's like really cool. I want to see something really big on a large scale. Do you think that would be cool?
That's exactly what I want to see. And like, I mean, she's like the star of a show. So hopefully she can like maybe get the means to like work on a huge scale. Like, I don't know. Like, she seems like she might have access to like a huge studio or like be able to get access to that. But like, I want to see her like making something like 40 feet tall or so. I don't know. Like, she's just so like larger than life in a way. Like, I feel like she's so young and she's accomplished so much already and just continues to prove herself as like a multi-talented artist. I'm like, I feel like if she tomorrow I found out that she could also like conjure magic, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I believe it. So like, I want to see her like just conjure up something like crazy and like huge.
Tell us in the chat, how many of you have made an artwork that was so large in scale that you had to like change your approach? Because Deep D, I did these drawings a couple of years ago that were 7 feet tall, and I did not have a big studio at the time. And afterwards, I was like, oh man, I am never making an artwork that I have to get on a ladder on to make. It was stressful. Like, I couldn't see the image very well. And just like the physical labor was so intense. It's really hard. Have you ever done anything really big like that?
I was going to say, I think the largest work I've ever done was for your class freshman year, actually. Which is like, what, like 6 feet tall or something like that. So definitely like not that big, but it was your like litho charcoal drawings. And I hate working on big stuff. Although I would love to do a mural in my lifetime. So if anyone wants to commission me to do a mural, I'm here for it. I like this comment from Emma saying found object art would be cool. It made me think of like, it would be really cool if she like stole things from set or like, you know, like I was just like, ah, she like lives also just such a unique life. It would be really cool if she made work from like her, you know, even like when she's in a green room or something and like she has snacks or like just what her daily life is like. It could be just so fun to see.
I love the idea of sculpture. I mean, look at the drawing on the left. You see that face with the pointy nose? That to me looks like it could be a wire sculpture in a heartbeat.
Yeah, definitely. Wire could be really, really cool. And I mean, like the way she's working with bodies feels like they want to just jump out of the page. Like they have so much like protrusion and personality to them. They and just energy. Like I feel wire sculpture, I love the idea of. I think that could be really, really cool.
Well, it does seem like there is somewhat of a logic to her line work. It seems like it's a continuous line that keeps flowing, which definitely gives the figures a very particular type of anatomy. And they do feel crunchy the way wire does. I don't know. There's something about them that's really, really cool in terms of the physicality of them.
Yeah, definitely. They also remind me a lot of like fashion illustrations of like the bodies being kind of like elongated and skinny and having these really like intense cheekbones, and the focus is on the clothing, which is kind of cool.
Well, speaking of long figures that are very exaggerated with line work, let's take a look at Egon Schiele. And if you have not heard of Egon Schiele, he was one of the German expressionists. You know what's crazy, Deep D? He was 28 when he died. Can you imagine? Only 28 years to fit it all. I'm like, dude, that would have not worked out well for me.
Oh, no. I am creeping up on that age. It's not too far into the future, and I would be devastated to know that things were ending. Then I have like a whole 10-year plan. Was he one of those artists that became famous after his death?
I don't know, but he's been really trendy in art history lately. Just he's all over the place. But he does these very awkward, I guess, crunchy figures. And I happen to really like his drawings. I mean, he's so good at those fingers. Mm-hmm. They're so exaggerated, but you can feel the bone in the structure.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorite artists just because his work is so bizarre. Like, I feel like these are characters out of my nightmares. But like all of their faces are so, they're so specific, but also so ambiguous. I think it's like a really interesting just style.
Our research team has to correct me, Deep D. Austrian expressionist, not German. Thank you very much for the correction. And then another artist who I thought about immediately would be Tim Burton, who is a filmmaker, and probably a lot of you know for his films Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands and stuff like that. But he really started with just these quirky little sketches. And I like some of these more than some of his films.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch my artist profile, he was super inspirational to me growing up. I'm like a huge, was huge Tim Burton fan, but still love his work. And I think what I like about, or what I see as a parallel, is that he uses a lot of just like colors straight out of the tube in his work. And I've seen that in Hunter's work too. And for some reason, it doesn't bother me in either of theirs. I think because they both have like a really whimsical, childlike, and I don't mean that in a negative way at all, but like just it just feels like really energetic and pure, and I think that works with the straight out of the tube kind of aesthetic.
Brittany says Tim Burton is such an impactful artist for me, and Soytonly says I can see Tim Burton's influence on Deep D, and Katrina says Nightmare Before Christmas is a prime example of his work here brought into animation in such a good way. Tell us in the chat if Tim Burton is somebody who influenced you, and also if you've seen his drawings before, because his drawings don't really get a lot of visibility, at least compared to his films. And there's something really low-key and intimate about seeing these that I just love so much.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much character to them, and you can kind of see his background as an animator coming out here, you know, and like his specific vision that has then just influenced, like, you know, when you think of Tim Burton, you think of like the swirls and the black and white, and like, you know, you think of certain things when you think of Tim Burton, and it's derived from his sketches. Basically, you can see the early stages of those.
So Deep D, in terms of color, do you think Hunter has to do some work here? Because you're right, a lot of it is just right out of the tube.
I enjoy how spontaneous and just like direct it feels, kind of. But I do think that she would have a lot of fun exploring color. And I think that there's a lot of exploration and work that she could do if she chose to. And I think that would be a really fun avenue for her to explore. It's just like, even in her technique using watercolor, like layering it, allowing the white of the page to act as like a lighting device. Yeah, mixing color and creating color that's a little bit more nuanced and having more depth to it could be really cool. I actually think she's doing it in this piece, though. Like, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I just feel like this type of style, because she's a bunch of drawings that are sort of similar, like black pen with the watercolor on top of it. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like I see the style everywhere, especially Urban Sketchers, which is a artist association. It's people that sketch plein air and stuff like that. And I don't know, for some reason, it seems like so many people in Urban Sketchers use this technique. And so it's something I'm very familiar with. I've seen a lot of times, but I think what happens here, she's much less reliant on the line to carry the drawing. It's like the watercolor actually has more space to breathe in the painting.
Yeah, and the marks are so beautiful, like especially in the one on the far left, the way she's layering, and like she has a really great control of the marks in some areas, but is also letting the watercolor kind of bleed and be inky in others, I think is working so well. And like the fact that it is kind of this like petally flame, she's using the medium to convey that texture and feel in a really like smart way.
I'm going to give a shout out to Chris Cross. Thank you so much for the super chat, who says, finally got a chance to see you guys live. Love the Art Prof content. Well, thank you so much, because every single contribution that all of you make keeps us up and running so we can continue to provide free content. Yeah, I would say, Hunter, you should work on your color because your other stuff is so good. Like, she's got skills in value, in tone, and shape and composition. Like, those are all skills that she's very good at. And it does seem like color is the one that hasn't really been addressed as directly.
Yeah, like I would love to just see a little bit of even variety in the red, like choosing different kinds of red, adding a little bit of, instead of working only with black in this, what if you use like green to create like a nice complementary? I mean, in the left panel on the way bottom, there's some like bluish kind of green coming through in like a wave. And I'm like, I love that right there. And I'm like, could we pull that around in some other areas? I'm seeing it here and there, but I think she's so experimental and bold in her mark making and her content. I think that she just should bring that into her color work too, and just not be, not to say that she's afraid, but I think that it feels a little bit safe right now in the way that she's using color. And I think that she can just jump in and explore and see what happens.
Well, I think I see this a lot, that a lot of people, when they do this technique, watercolor plus pen, it oftentimes is the pen first to lay down the composition, and then you use the watercolor to fill in. Now, I don't know what order Hunter did this in, but that is typical for a lot of people. And one thing I tell people is, listen, you're too reliant on the line to define everything. So try reversing it. If you're used to drawing with the pen first, paint with the watercolor first, and then you might find, wow, I don't have to do as much line work because the watercolor actually can do a lot on its own. It's just it never got a chance to before.
Yeah, I like this comment from Christian Vega that says even colored pens would be cool. And another thing I've noticed is a lot of times when you're using black pen, it feels really overwhelming when you're adding color, and it feels like you have to stick to what that black pen is telling you because it's so dominant. But when you start using color pen, there starts to be like a different balance in importance and power that the colors are giving you, and it might inspire you in a different way. So if you want to stick to pen and stick to that like pen first, watercolor second, maybe try some colored pens and see how that changes your approach.
Or even picking a toned piece of paper. Everything changes when you're working on a black sheet of paper, because then you can whip out the gel pens and you can think about different ways to react to that. So I would like to see that, because that's a pretty easy change you can make without getting rid of the convenience of the pen sketching and everything. I mean, I would love for Hunter to do etching, but maybe Hunter doesn't have access to a print shop.
Hopefully soon. Also want to give a huge shout out to RB for this super sticker. Thank you so much. You help keep Art Prof free and accessible to everyone. So thank you.
But yeah, I think this piece, Deep D, is a step in the right direction, because it does seem to push the balance between the two media a lot more deliberately than the others.
Yeah, and I think there's an interesting separation in like what belongs to the pen and what belongs to the watercolor, and like that relationship, and you know, being a bit more deliberate in like why you're using each medium. The pen work is very tight and very detailed, whereas the watercolor is more loose and free. And I think that speaks to the characters that they are assigned to as well. So it seems like there's like a different level of thought put into like, why are you using these mediums? What, you know, do they add to your pieces? Which I think, again, is a step in the right direction and can be explored further too.
Also, Hunter, I really want you to use a Sumi brush because I can tell from the paintings that she's using a pretty small brush in most of these pieces. And the big brushes, they just don't get the screen time that the little brushes get, because people like the control that a small brush gives you. But there's something really wonderful about that, like very fresh mark that just sits there and doesn't apologize for not blending, if that makes any sense.
Definitely. And there's kind of like a level of spontaneity on like, oh, well, I can't go back now, that those big brushes will give you. Whereas like the tiny brushes, it's easy to take like baby steps. And with the big brush, you kind of just have to like dive in. And if you don't like it, well, then tough luck. You got to deal with it.
Well, because I do see a little bit of that here, because you see the like blue gradient in the background. I can see from the strokes that it was pretty rendered and picked at in order to create that gradient. But I think one of my favorite things about watercolor is when you can make a bleed, like just wet the paper and then dip the watercolor pigment in there and let the watercolor seep around. This feels a little bit too controlled, and I would love to see Hunter embrace the spontaneity of watercolor.
Yeah, definitely. I think spontaneity is the right word. And I think she does have a lot of spontaneity in her work already. And it's an interesting avenue to explore is like, how can you use the medium that you're using to, you know, add to that energy and spontaneity and like maybe even let the medium guide you.
We do have this stream, which is coming up tomorrow. We're going to give you prompts to fill your sketchbook. And this is a draw along. So Kat and I are going to fill our sketchbook and you can all draw along with us. But I think as you can see, Hunter has a very vibrant sketchbook practice. So this is a really good follow-up stream to today. And we also had this recent stream about what, quote, should be in my sketchbook. The answer is anything, whatever you want. Forget about trends or social media, just whatever you want to put in there. This Google slideshow is available. The link is in the YouTube video description below. Art Prof has a podcast. It's available on Spotify and also on iTunes. And in a few minutes, Deepi and I are going to be hanging out in the Art Prof Discord. Please hang out with us in the post live streams channel so we can chat more about Tim Burton and Egon Schiele. Subscribe to our channel so you can continue to grow and develop as an artist. And a big thank you to our top Patreon supporters. We are so excited to have all of you here contributing to our community to make sure that our content is always free and accessible. Everybody, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.